Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised.
Bad guy, asshole, people call me lots of names. Damn, I laugh so hard because they're all the same. Pack my ammo, trigger happy feeling grace. Can't lie, man's won't ever change.
Hey, what is up, everybody? It is your boy, We Too Deep, and we are back with another episode of the Slapping Me to Wrestling podcast. And I know what you're thinking, what happened on Tuesday? Well, I've been struggling this week with some kind of respiratory, who knows what it was. And today's the first day in about a week where I can complete sentences without coughing. I still got a little bit of a cough, but I told you on Sunday that it was killing me. Y'all remember that? Well, it almost did. But we're back. We're going to try to complete this one as cough-free as possible. May not be as up energy, you know, dealing with all of that. I got like 8 different medicines I got to take now for this thing. But I'm alive. We're here talking wrestling. And you just heard the new intro, new song for the Friday shows. We're do the normal ones that we normally do on the Wavy D shows and when we do the Sunday episodes. But the We Too Deep rants are going to get that intro because they want to make me the bad guy. They want to make me the asshole. They can call me whatever they want. Well, God put me here to piss the IWC off. And that's what we're going to do on this episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling podcast. So the first thing I want to talk about on this episode is sort of just an awareness thing. And I am an indie wrestling fan. I had earlier this year, Vicious Vicky Venuto on the podcast. Y'all remember that interview? And I saw the post from her about a guy named Vince Steele who had died. At the time, I didn't know like the circumstances. Excuse me, but he died during his match from a heart attack. So rest in peace to him. I want to start this off by saying like thoughts and prayers and to that whole community, his friends, his family, to the wrestling community as a whole. So yeah, I told you I'm not up completely healed yet, but we're gonna get through this. There's something that like this is strange to me because in North Carolina it is, I'm pretty certain, required to have health officials and ambulance on site. And so it took like 45 minutes for an ambulance to get to the facility where the show is happening. I guess in New Jersey, it isn't a requirement. And so I really just want to take this out. Like, I think this should be like, it's 2025. I think this should be commonplace. Like, even if it's not required by the state law, promotions should have health checks before matches and medical personnel and ambulances at the facility and show care for the people you have, you know, on your show for you. I think that that's the least you could do for the people you that are making you money. That's just, I just wanted to take 10 minutes to not even that long, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, however long. Rest in peace, Vince Steel. But also, like, the wrestling business has to do better as a whole. Let this serve as a reason why, and maybe like a point in time where promotions start to do things that, you know, are in the benefit of the talent. But we're gonna talk about some wrestling now. There's a character on SmackDown that I feel is being highly underutilized, and that is B-Fab. And I know what some of y'all, I know what a lot of y'all probably thinking. B-Fab is not good. And I would say you're wrong. B-Fab has a lot of potential. She's done like 20 matches in her entire career, was brought in more so to be a valet for Hit Row. Has, of course, got trained to be wrestling, to take bumps and to be in the ring. But I just, I think she's underutilized. She should be fighting Chelsea Green for the U.S. Championship. You know, imagine her picking up that win against Charlotte Flair last week instead of taking another loss. How much more that would have benefited her. And so I'm just here to state right now, B-Fab has a lot of potential in this business. She has a look to her that's good. She has a fan base already. I think with a little bit more in-ring experience, you know, if I was in charge of booking, we're seeing on NXT right now, Carmen Petrovic. We saw in the back, you know, they were interviewing like Jada Parker, and behind, like, Carmen and Ashante the Adonis split up, right? Or that's what is being assumed, right? So what I would have, like, say, even starting as early as next week, is I would send B-Fab to NXT talking to Ashante, where they're just sort of catching up because they used to be like in a faction together. And Carmen walks in and think Ashante is trying to mac on B-Fab, and then start a feud with Carmen Petrovic and B-Fab. And B-Fab should be one of the ones that go to TNA. I think get her more ring experience, because she has a very high ceiling to me. She does. I think she has a lot of potential. I think people judge, oh, she's been there for 6 years and she's still green. Well, she hasn't been a wrestler for 6 years, right? I don't think it's fair to judge her for her lack of experience when her role was to be a valet, right? It would be as if Michael Cole got in the ring. Oh, well, he's been there for 20. Well, Michael Cole's only done one match in his career. Like, I can't expect Michael Cole to wrestle circles around anyone, right? I think B-Fab could be better utilized, get a little bit more experience in the ring by going and doing some of the NXT shows. She should be on TV every week in a match to get some experience, right? And I think that would definitely benefit B-Fab. She's a star in the making, and you can't convince me otherwise. The next thing I want to talk about, and this might be a quicker episode on some of these topics, right? We're going to backload it with a lot of the conversation towards the last two segments, right? But the next thing I want to talk about is these European crowds. Y'all, crowds are the best. No, they're not. They're annoying. They're annoyingly just I almost wanted to turn Raw off on Monday because of how annoying they were. You know, of course, it was at 3 p.m. and I was able to watch because work was kind of slow and I wasn't doing, I felt like booty cheeks at work on Monday. We had a customer right at 3 o'clock who I took care of. And then as soon as she walked out, we were slow the rest of the day. Raw was, you know, took me up to right about closing time, right? And so I sat there and watched it, and I was really tempted to turn off this show because of how annoying the crowd was, right? Obviously, it was a good choice to put Cena's return here because it got a response. But the rest of the night, when there are down moments and the things that people critique U.S. crowds for, because when it can get quiet at times, well, that's because the action in the ring is not as entertaining. And I've said this in the past. You have to earn a reaction with the American fans, right? You can't just give us boring television and expect a reaction. Whereas it's almost like the European crowd just reacts for anything, right? And I've even said that the European crowds will pop for a flaming pile of shit. And they do random chants that have nothing to do with the show or with the match, and at some point it starts to take away from the actual action in the ring. In the show itself, they're tiring to me, like listening to them chant, and bro, it's annoying. I absolutely despise European crowds. I don't understand why. And what it is that there are people in the IWC who love them because they think that loud equals a good crowd, right? People think that loud means you're good. But I'm here to dispel that idea. I'm here to dispel that myth, okay? European wrestling crowds, right, are some of the most overrated in the world. People act like they're the best just because they are loud. But there's a massive difference between being energetic and actually being a good crowd, okay? A great crowd enhances the show. They know when to react, when to let the moment breathe, and when to explode at the right time. European crowds don't care about all of that. All they do is chant random nonsense the entire night, completely ignoring what's happening in the ring. It's not about the match or the wrestlers or the experience or the story. They're just trying to entertain themselves. And what people don't understand is that being in the crowd, I've said this before, being in the crowd comes with a specific responsibility. There's an etiquette to being a wrestling fan. You are part of the show, right? You have a role to play. Right? A proper crowd knows when to cheer, when to boo, when to let the moment sink. You don't hijack the show. You don't make it about yourself. You react to what's happening in the ring and you help to tell the story. That is what a good crowd does. You add to the drama and enhance the spectacle, not take away from it by shouting random nonsense for the whole, right? European crowds throw all of that out of the window, and instead of a natural reaction, they chant random stuff that has nothing to do with what's happening. They sing songs, make dumb noises, try to put themselves over rather than the wrestlers themselves. It doesn't matter if it's a 5-star match or a guy tripping on the way to the ring. They will pop for anything. There's no build, no pacing, no real investment. It's noise for the sake of noise. And yet somehow people act like this makes them the best crowd in the world. When really a great wrestling crowd understands the rhythm of a show and work with the performers, not against them. They elevate the talent, not drown them out. European crowds don't respect the show, the wrestlers, or the moment. They just want to hear themselves chant. And at the end of the day, energy alone does not make you a great crowd. There's an art to being an audience, and European crowds completely ignore it. A proper wrestling crowd knows how to create unforgettable moments, not just drown out the show with constant pointless noise. If you're in the crowd, act like it. You're part of the show, so play your role. And I'll leave it at that. The next thing is, I'm going to make a controversial statement. I'm going to make one, and I know some people I know some people agree, and I know some people don't. And this is going to be super controversial. Jey Uso is complete ass, garbage, done. I'm done with this match. WWE took what in January at the Royal, or excuse me, February 1st at the Royal Rumble, when Jey Uso won, I had a little bit of optimism towards him winning. It was a good little swerve. I was happy with it. And what they did was had him choose the wrong person. And we're going to fix this. We're going to fix Mania, because this Mania build is ass. And people are starting to join my ship. We'll talk about that next. But Jey Uso, right? He chose Gunther. Kind of thought he would, right? And they've done absolutely nothing to make me care one iota about this feud. I don't care about Jey Uso being 0-3 against Gunther. I don't care that he's 0-6 in single title matches. None of that matters to me, right? I don't think none of that matters to the story. And that should be the story. That should be the focal point of the whole thing. But instead, what they're doing is the same copy, paste, repeat, where Gunther chokes someone out and Gunther chokes out Jey, and all of it's stupid. There is no story here. This match went from, okay, this could potentially be, you know, a very good match, to this thing's going to fucking suck. And they booked themselves into a corner where there is no positive result here. Jey Uso wins, you get your optic, right? You get your business optic with Jey Uso being the champion. But what do you get after that? A mediocre at best reign, where, right? Or if Gunther wins, what do you get from that? There's, right? So the payoff is Jey Uso's obviously going to win this match, which is fine. I don't have a problem with Jey Uso. I just think his booking, all he literally is, and at this point, he literally is just a yeet chant that sells merchandise. He is literally a marketing piece. And this feels so fucking forced at this point. I don't even want it anymore. At least with Kofi Mania, even, it didn't feel forced. This felt it felt organic. The Yes Movement felt organic. And this is the complete opposite of organic. This is manufactured bullshit that no one actually cares about. This match completely will I don't care about it anymore, right? I'm at the point right now where this match used to be like, okay, I could stand for it. Now I'm like, I don't care about the result. I don't care about what happens. Part of me is actually hoping Gunther wins and retains the championship, because at least then maybe they have to get creative with Jey. But this will be when he wins the title. His title run, in my estimation, will be one of the worst title runs in recent history. I just don't see a positive to it. I just don't. Jey Uso is not him. The booking is not good. They've literally nothing to make us care about this feud. But not just this feud. It's not just this feud. This WrestleMania build is absolute garbage. Right? Absolute garbage. So we're going to fix it. Right? So where do my problems stand? And first off, I want to welcome everyone on board as we're 29 days away from WrestleMania. I want to welcome everyone on board to the train and say, welcome to the party. I've been here for a while on this island of correctness. I told you this Mania build was ass. But everyone was like, no, Triple H had a plan. The fuck he does? The fuck you talking about? Right? I want to tell you, so what this comes from, and again, this is no disrespect towards this person or to anybody who's late to the island, because I'm always there first. People call me picky or that I'm too critical of certain booking things. Guys, I just look at trends, and typically the first person to critique something is a hater. And if this makes me a Triple H hater, that is what it is. But guys, I've been on this island by myself screaming that this sucks. And I haven't been here by myself. There's other members of the IWC who have been with me. But I've been screaming, especially because I'm the only one trying to yell at the CWC, right? Because y'all are family, y'all are friends, y'all are bros. But sometimes I just got to tell y'all, y'all are a little too optimistic sometimes about Triple H's booking. And let me tell you something. I've been sitting here with some of these IWC members and chatting with them on this island. And they're like, yeah, man, it sucks. And then I turn around and I'm like, man, I got to tell these casuals because the hardcores don't care about the casuals. So I gotta turn around and yell to the casuals who are kind of in love with Triple H's booking, who fall for the tricks. And now the casual fans are starting to realize, hey, we're 30 days away from WrestleMania. And we don't have a full card yet. If I want to buy a ticket, I got to guess in the dark and spend over $2,000 to get. like you're talking, you got to take a loan out to go to WrestleMania now. And I may not even get to choose the right night to see who I want to fight. This is crazy talk. This is crazy how WWE's doing this. And I've been sitting here for months telling you this WrestleMania build is ass. And once again, I'm right. I've been here, and now more people are getting off on the island that I've been partying at for the last couple months. And I just want some recognition that We Too Deep was correct again. We Too Deep was right. This WrestleMania build, it has been full of tricks and swerves and surprises and shock and awe solely because Triple H, whether he wants to admit it or not, does not have a plan on where he wants to do WrestleMania. He did not book this 6 months in advance like many people thought that he would or that he does. This is completely being booked on the spot. And a lot of it, I believe, think it's because they weren't sure if The Rock was going to be there. I think a lot of this has to do with The Rock. But this WrestleMania build. Now, let's be honest. WrestleMania is going to be a good show. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, this is an ass show. But let's be honest. It's not a good build. There's zero excitement in me right now for WrestleMania. So how would I fix WrestleMania? Let me fix it for you. The quick fix is this. Jey Uso wins the Royal Rumble, immediately picks Cody Rhodes. I have Jey Uso face Cody Rhodes. I promise you. This John Cena, because let me tell you how John Cena's turn is going to end up, right? Based off of this first promo. He's going to maybe win 17. So he wins 17. He sells out to win the title. He comes to his senses in 3 or 4 months. And then what, right? I don't think there's ever a positive gain to turning John Cena at this point. I've been saying that before he turned, that I saw no good in doing that. So I think the better match would have been Jey Uso versus Cody, where Jey Uso can defeat Cody for the title. And I already told you guys the story coming out of this, because what do I always say? There has to be a what next with wrestling. When you finish a feud or when you do a big thing like this, like WrestleMania, there has to be that what's next moment. And there is nothing with Cena and Cody. There is something with Jey Uso winning the title off of Cody. That what's next moment is, well, Roman Reigns comes out the Raw after Mania and congratulates Jey Uso for winning the championship and bringing it back to the family. And then looks at him and says, now hand it back to your tribal chief. I'm the actual champion. And for Jey to say no, and then we do this feud all the way till SummerSlam, where Jey defeats Roman and puts an end to the Bloodline saga in the place where it began. And I've been trying to describe that for several months. There is no better story than that. That should have been the story, right? I still have John Cena win the Elimination Chamber, but he didn't need to turn. He's the good guy now who gets to defeat Gunther, right? Who can defeat Gunther and then put over the next big heel in a Bron Breakker for the World Championship at a SummerSlam event. Right? Charlotte Flair should have still won the Rumble. I've been telling you for weeks how I would fix this. The story isn't who's in the match. It's the fact that there's zero credibility to Tiffany Stratton. Charlotte's the only one that looks credible in this feud so far, in this build. And I'm telling you right now, this doesn't need a sympathy Tiffany Stratton. I build this differently by simply just having Tiffany Stratton. And I said this last week, I think, as well. I think I have Tiffany play the heel here. Play the sort of... I think I have her play the heel. The sort of arrogant young talent who rests on her, on she's young and beautiful and talented, and she doesn't respect Charlotte Flair because she thinks she's better than Charlotte. And I have Charlotte play the sympathy, like, I've been out for 2 years. I've paid my dues. I don't have to earn my way to the top. I am the top. I've been out for 2 years. Right? And have her come back with that sympathy of looking at the hard work of her coming back. And then at that point, I think if you wanted to do a Tiffany Stratton loss to where it burns everything to the ground and then she rebuilds as a babyface, you could do that there. But ultimately, Tiffany Stratton wins this match. She has to. Right? That's the only thing that makes logical sense to me. This build's just been really bad with how they've been building Tiffany Stratton. Nothing really wrong with who's in the match. It's just how they're building it, right? And then the Raw Women's Championship, that one, this just got convoluted, right? And so I would have simply done Bianca Belair wins Elimination Chamber like they did, had her face Rhea Ripley. And this is no disrespect to Io Sky. Io Sky is talented. She is not main event material. I'm sorry. She's just not it to me. You want to know where Io Sky could have been used? Because I do think she is really good. In a match against Lyra Valkyria for the Women's Intercontinental Championship, where Io Sky, who is one of the most championed respected women's wrestlers in women's wrestling history, not only in Japan, but in WWE, where she's been given a lot of awards and prizes and belts and championships and right. And so her winning that belt immediately brings it prestige. And I think what you could have done is have Io win it, Dakota get jealous, and then you do the actual split of Dakota Kai versus Io Sky at a Backlash or at a SummerSlam even, right? Where they both debuted again in the company with Bayley and Damage Control. So Damage Control came together at a SummerSlam 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and then they could fall apart at a SummerSlam, right? You see that? I think that's the booking you could have used Io in, where you could get Titan versus Titan with Rhea and Bianca, and this doesn't need a big story right now, right? Because this is a transitional match to get us to the bigger story, which is Bianca beats Rhea, and then Jade attacks on the Monday after Mania, the Raw after Mania, where Bianca and Jade meet up. Bianca comes out as the actual perpetrator of the attack, and you get a three-month-long feud where Jade Cargill then faces Bianca at SummerSlam. And you start to build for that next big event here at Mania, right? You're going to start putting your puzzle pieces together to get to the next destination in SummerSlam. Because that's how I book. That's how Triple H says he books, but he doesn't. I book that way. I book from Mania to SummerSlam. So my Mania results will ultimately already, right? So I'm booking Mania with the result of what I want at SummerSlam in mind. Right? The tag team division. Why not give the Street Profits a WrestleMania moment? I'm glad they have the championship, but why not have them wait 5 more weeks and do it at WrestleMania? That makes zero sense to me to give them the titles now. There's no direction in how you book this, the mid-card at all. Right, Roman, CM Punk in them, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that feud. Logan Paul and AJ Styles, I don't have a problem. But the championship pictures is where I have a problem, right? There's these four matches that you have confirmed right now have not been booked properly. Just haven't been booked properly. There's no long-term idea of where we're headed. He's trying to outsmart the marks. And in doing so, he's giving us very convoluted, boring, sloppy mess of a television show that isn't very entertaining. Right? It's just not very entertaining. Right? And so I doing it the way I do it, oh, okay, cool. We don't get Cena's heel turn. But we don't really, did we really need a John Cena heel turn for this WrestleMania to be good? No, I don't think we needed that. I don't. I feel like this Mania is so convoluted that at the end of the day, I don't feel like there's any payoff to the matches we're going to get. And that's just how I feel about it. All right. So we're going to end this by talking about AEW Dynamite from Wednesday. One that James has declared the greatest, just Junkyard James from the Beyond the Junkyard podcast, the greatest Dynamite of the year, which sets the bar really low for me. But it starts off with this four-way. Number one contender match winner gets the prized honor of losing to Kenny Omega at Dynasty This match is Mark Davis, Mike Bailey, Orange Cassidy, and Ricochet. And I'm not going to sit here and name all the moves they did. It was a pretty decent match, the best thing they showed on the show. With a convoluted finish, kind of actually safe finish, where Mike Bailey and Ricochet technically won. This is leading to a triple threat. I don't hate the thing. The results, but what this shows is that Tony Khan is also, too, just like Triple H, playing it safe with his booking. Because here's what's going to happen. This essentially will leave in two ways. First off, Kenny Omega's not losing. So because Kenny Omega's not losing, you don't book Speedball Bailey to fight him. Because by the point we get to Dynasty, what, he's going to be four or five matches in, probably undefeated. You're not going to have Speedball Mike Bailey lose in his first title match, right? Like, take the pin. So Ricochet is in the match solely to lose, which completely scraps away all momentum from Pretty Ricky, being that it's going to be two pay-per-views in a row that he takes a pin, right? Excuse me. And so this is just interesting booking, I guess. I just don't understand, though. Like, my whole point to this is, why have Kenny Omega fight at Dynasty? Why? I don't think he needs a match here. If the end goal is all in Okada versus Omega, start the feud with Okada right now and give us three-month feud till all in, with a storyline for us to care about and people to tune in and watch. So that's where I'm at, right? The match was fine. I didn't hate the match. But the lack of story here is what really, like, Speedball Bailey, even, like, 2 weeks in, and he doesn't feel like he's important anymore. He doesn't have a gimmick. He's generic, just like the rest of the roster. I just don't get it, right? I don't get what they're trying to do here, right? So the next match is the TBS Championship match, Mercedes Moné versus Billy Starks. And this match, again, predictable, but I'm not going to hate on predictability because I think predictability is fine. Excuse me. My issue with this is that there was no way in hell Billy Starks was going to win this match. There's no way at all. So Tony Khan decides we're going to bury a potential superstar in Billy Starks to Mercedes Moné's ego. Not only has she killed my lower card, now we're going to kill ROH, because apparently the next matchup for Mercedes Moné is going to be Athena, possibly as quickly as Dynasty. And so you're going to put the ROH Women's Champion, who's almost been 1,000 days as champion, which I haven't seen anyone complain about like they did with Roman Reigns, by the way. But almost 1,000 days as meaningless ROH Women's Champion. And that's going to be completely thrown out the window. There's no way Mercedes Moné loses to Athena. I'm telling you, they're giving Mercedes Moné the TBS longest reign record that Jade Cargill currently still has. So, I mean, you got another 200 plus days with Mercedes Moné as your TBS champion. But here's my problem. Does that mean that she's going to become ROH champion, women's champion as well? Is she going to ROH? Why is she not ever on screen with Toni Storm? Toni Storm's the best in that division right now. She is quite literally holding the only belt that matters in AEW from a women's perspective. The top belt for the women's division is being held by Toni Storm. And Mercedes Moné is prancing around with three other companies' belts in the TBS Championship acting like she's the greatest thing on the roster when she has never even been on TV with Toni Storm. That's a problem. Why are you not going after the belt that matters? That makes zero sense to me. It makes zero sense. It makes zero sense. Toni Storm is the most over, the best, currently your champion. Why are you not going after her if you're Mercedes Moné? That makes zero sense to me. Why are you going after ROH talent and lower AEW talent when you could and like New Japan, Momo want the nobody when you could be going after Toni Storm or Mariah May? Right? That's where my issue comes in. Right? Then we have what might be the most stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life in a wrestling ring. I think I've seen some pretty stupid shit in this business. But this might be the stupidest shit I've ever seen in my life ever happen on a wrestling show. AEW World Champion. So first off, why the fuck is this match not main eventing? Like, I could see if this was a pay-per-view and you had Mariah and Toni fighting. So let's pause real quick, because here's what happened, right? You went to the pay-per-view. This match, the first time you got it, stunk up the show. So Toni Khan heard all the critiques about how Toni Storm and Mariah should have been the main event. And so what he does is he basically redoes that card and puts Chris Statlander and Megan Bain as the main event, which should never be a main event ever. Right? Should never be a main event ever. And you get a street fight between John Moxley and Cope in the middle of your show, when this should have main evented because it's Wednesday. It's the World Championship. And there's no equivalent championships being defended. This has to be your main event. That's how cards are booked, Toni Khan. Like, you heard, but you didn't actually understand the critique. So they do this match, and most of it's, you know, your standard street fight bullshit, right? But then you get the dumbest spot I have ever seen in my life. John Moxley is suplexed onto a damn spike. This motherfucker gets fucking nails straight into his back. And I don't care who you are, there is no justification for that. There's no justification for doing that. There's just no reason in the world why any wrestling promoter would put on television a man being suplexed onto nails to when he stands up and the damn post is literally stuck in his back. That's just straight up retarded for two reasons. The first one is there's no story. It means nothing. This match was the better of the two matches, by the way. This should have been the pay-per-view match. That was a pay-per-view spot. If you were going to do that spot, why the fuck did you not do it at the pay-per-view? Let me tell you why they didn't do it at the pay-per-view. Because there were 17,000 other spots where blood was involved at the pay-per-view. That's the problem with AEW. I'm gonna pull back the curtain a little bit, and I'm gonna talk to the Junkyard Boys, because I complained about Tony Storm and Will Ospreay and them using so much blood, and how the amount of blood AEW does and uses about a week and a half ago, to the point, and like they sat there and called me basically retarded, that I didn't understand AEW's programming. But that, this is what I mean when I say that you guys do spots for the sake of doing spots to get a pop. Not to tell a story, but to get a pop. This spot was dumb as shit. I'm going to talk to you guys. This is what I meant when I said exactly what I said about the use of blood and stupidity in AEW. This is not ECW. This is not the 1990s. Stop pulling out the Terry Funk card and the Mick Foley card. Terry Funk is dead. Probably prematurely because of the stupid shit that he did. Mick Foley is literally at the point where he can barely walk because of the stupid shit that he did. And rather than saying, well, they did it, so... excuse me. Rather than saying, well, they did it in the 90s and the 80s, so why can't they do it now? Well, because I can look at history... Look at how they turned out and said, I don't want John Moxley in a wheelchair in his 30s or 40s. Because I can look at history and say, I don't want him addicted to painkillers in a wheelchair or paralyzed when he has a little kid at home and a wife to take care of. This there's no place in wrestling for this type of mud show bullshit. There's no place in wrestling for it. There is no justifying this spot at all. For two reasons. The first, like I said, is there's no story. If you told me a story that led to this spot, it still would be a stupid spot. But maybe it meant something. This gets no payoff. There's no payoff for this spot. If you told a story that led to that spot, it still would be stupid, and I still would complain about how stupid it was and how Moxley could have easily been paralyzed from this spot. But if there's a payoff, that's I could give some points to you. There's no payoff here. But everyone gets hurt. Chris Bay is recovering from an accident. Yeah, I understand that injury is part of wrestling. But here's the thing. It's a calculated risk. And things happen sometimes that are outside of people's control. Right? Here's the problem. That's not a calculated risk. You added into the equation something you couldn't calculate. You can't calculate. One mishap and a nail goes deep into his skin, through the muscle, through the nerve, and into the spinal cord. And he's paralyzed. Much less to say, who the fuck knows who's been touching those spikes and the amount of bacteria that just entered his bloodstream. John Moxley probably has hepatitis A through Z at this point. He probably smells fucking colors with all the diseases that are probably in his bloodstream from all the stupid shit that he does. This isn't about, but it's also a bad spot because it's just a bad optic. Warner Brothers executives watching that spot, I promise you, don't see that spot and say, oh, that was a good spot. I'm glad we're giving millions of dollars to this company so that we can get Hetchashero hologram and John Moxley getting spiked on a national television. There's not a single company watching right now who saw that spot and said, yeah, we'll put advertising money for that. There's not a single fan that isn't watching AEW that might be perplexed into watching AEW that would see that spot. This, to me, is no different than there's a story when Kurt Angle was being introduced to wrestling and he was being recruited by ECW. And I forgot the exact people involved, but it was the crucifixion angle that they were doing. And I think it was, Sandman. I think Sandman was getting crucified. In ECW. And he was backstage and he saw that happening and he went to them and said, I'm not being a part of this because of that, right? What that is this moment. If you're a pro wrestler and you like, if I'm a pro wrestler looking to get in the business, I don't want anything to do with AEW because that was stupid. That risked everyone's future for a pop. What it reeks of is desperation. How this gets approved, I have no fucking clue. That was a desperation spot to try to get a pop and to get an applause, but there's no payoff. It's a bad business decision. This doesn't garner you any new viewership. But we don't care, but we just care about the people watching now. We don't want new. That's not how you do business, you dumbass. Business, every business running right now, their entire purpose, their entire goal is to get more followers, more consumers, right? Right? AEW should want to get more people watching their product, right? That's what they should want. But what they've consistently done is lose to the third brand of WWE consistently the entire year. Oh, but the ratings are as high as they've been all year. They're on a four-week high. But you're losing to developmental. You're losing to the third brand. There's a lot more interest on Evolve from some people. There's no stories. There's no stories. There's no purpose. There's no reason to watch. It's just mud show bullshit. This show was awful. And Jon Moxley doing this spot. Jon Moxley doing this spot. Put a nail, pun intended, into a coffin of AEW. This ship is sinking, dog. This ship is sinking. I don't know how much longer AEW got, y'all. I just don't. This feels like Tony Khan trying to play ECW. And it's not going to work. There's a reason ECW had to merge with WWE. There's no mainstream appeal with this. You're not going to get people to care about your product if this is the product you're going to promote. There's just no interest in this style of wrestling. Right. So that's all I got for you. Hope you all enjoyed this episode. I know the coughing's probably annoying. I do apologize. Hopefully I'm better by Tuesday. No Sunday episode this week. I'm going to take Sunday off and rest my voice. Wanted to give you some content this week, though. I will see you next Tuesday with me and Wavy D. And until then, thank y'all for watching. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. I will see you on Tuesday.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEWWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay. Slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.